Hey, welcome to the Upland Nation podcast. I'm Scott Linden, your host. Glad you could join me today. Great show in store for you if you are active. And who isn't in our world? Whether it's chasing dogs, kids, or birds, climbing the hills or walking the fields, I'm going to talk with somebody who knows a little bit about that stuff and might be able to help you with some fitness, diet, and performance advice. We're here in the Cabela's Podcast studio, where you'll also get a public access suggestion, especially for you chucker hunters out there. Some strategy and dog handling advice in the Handle It segment. Adventures and strategies, tips and tactics. It's all coming up right here in the Upland Nation podcast. Sure appreciate you joining me. Looking forward to a good one. Hope you are too. Well, I've been bragging a bit too much on Flick and his training progress. That's very clear, because the last time I was out with him and a witness, he backslid dramatically. You know, for a lot of reasons, it was my fault. I've been focusing so much on one particular aspect of his steadiness, and that is hitting a whoa when he sees a bird. I'll talk more about that in our Handle It segment, but the fact of the matter is, I think I overtrained a little bit on that one, and it came back to bite me. How about you? What you working on these days, and why? And is it going well? Tell me all about it on the Facebook page, Wing Shooting USA Facebook page, or the Upland Nation Facebook page. Sure like to see the puppy training stuff out there, and thanks for all the positive feedback on our puppy shows in the last few weeks. I hope it's been of value to everybody. Okay, we got our guest on the line, so a couple quick commercial messages, and then we'll be right to it. Sageandbreaker.com is where you learn all about gun care products crafted at the highest caliber. My friend Fred Bohm is always coming up with new ideas, and if you want to get in on those before everybody else, sign up for the mailing list, and you'll get that advance notice before the general public gets a crack at the new stuff. Free shipping always at sageandbreaker.com. And free shipping on anything over $200 at dogtra.com, my training collar of choice. And believe me, they're getting a workout, both of them, on the front and the back end. Learn more about the T&B Duel at dogtra.com. Yeah, like I said, without further ado, let's get into our caller. Mark Paulson began his athletic career at the University of Kansas. He was a discus thrower. Hey, I was a shot putter because I was too heavy for all that other stuff. Captained the team at the University of Kansas, go Jayhawks, and then walked onto the Jayhawk football team, ultimately earning a scholarship and ultimately signing with the Cleveland Browns. You remember in football? Hey, yeah, they were one of the leaders there for a while too. Go Browns, my hometown. Mark Paulson began coaching at Long Beach State. Almost went there. They offered me a scholarship. Served as a strength and conditioning coach, University of New Mexico. Finished his career, University Director of Athletic Performance for the Lobos. The guy's got some technical credentials, pursued a master's degree in nutrition, all of that stuff. Oh, and by the way, he's a hunter and a dog owner too. Mark Paulson, Coach P, welcome to the Upland Nation podcast.
Scott, glad to be here, and thanks for having me on.
Well, that might be a record for me. I usually give about a two-sentence introduction, but you've got a curriculum vitae that probably goes a lot deeper than that. What prompted you to think you could play pro football?
Well, you know, for me, I quite frankly was being frustrated in discus. I was training for the Olympics, and I was too much of a meathead to understand you have to have the right mechanics. By the way, a lot of the greatest throwers came out of the University of Oregon, where I competed, and as well. And so in my frustration, I said, heck with it. I'm going to go out for football. Because I saw the caliber of athletes that were playing, and I said, I can do that. So I I actually only played about 14 weeks of college football, and basically my senior year, and then had an opportunity at the next level.
Yeah, that's so funny. Number one, go Ducks. I worked for the athletic department for a couple of years over there, but that's well, that's another podcast. That would be fun someday. But you said meathead and football, and it's no wonder you joined up. But good for you. I mean, what was that experience like? I mean, just in a nutshell, playing pro football, that's got to be a like a dream for 60% of the guys listening.
Well, for me, the physical part of it was easy. I actually expected them to be better as far as having to deal with the talent level. That was not a problem. The mental part, because I only played, again, I didn't play for 4 years coming out of a small high school in northern Minnesota. So the bigger issue with me, Scott, was all of a sudden I'm surrounded by guys that I grew up watching on TV, and just the overall atmosphere of it. Was a little bit more problematic. In fact, I will say this: the number one draft pick that they had that year left camp. He was number two behind Herschel Walker, and his name was Chip Banks out of USC. He actually walked out of camp because of the pressure. And so it's more of a mental game than physical, and that I wasn't ready for.
Yeah, I understand that for a number of reasons we won't get into, but it is absolutely true, and it's interesting that that would, in a way, inform your academic career to a degree, I'm sure, that then leads to what you're doing these days, and that's running this organization called WildernessAthlete.com. Now, you've been an elk hunter, you've been a bird dog owner, you're a grouse hunter. All of those things come together into this. Why don't you describe what wilderness athlete really is?
Well, it basically stems from is like I hesitate to use the word brainchild, but I was actually hunting in northern New Mexico for the first time for elk with my bow back in 1987. And like you said, I've been a trapper, hunter, fisherman my whole life all over this country, and but I'd never hunted elk in the mountains, and I got into some screaming bulls and was chasing them. And long story short, it was the most not only physical but mentally challenging thing I'd ever done in my life. And I sat there in the mud one day, hunkered down with a bull coming in, and I was so physically shot that I said, it dawned on me that these guys are legitimate athletes in such a way that I've never even thought of it like that. And of course, then that's the easier part, doing what I was describing. Then I happened to shoot one my first year, and it was 27 miles back and forth to get that bull out of the mountains. I actually
Ow.
dropped a body weight of 227 from 250, which I hadn't weighed 227 since I was a junior in high school. And so, long story short, that really got into my head as far as there's got to be a place for high quality nutrition that's somewhat dedicated in its formulations to the demands of what they do. And that's how it started.
You know, it's funny, and you can relate to this. In many athletic endeavors, you are ultimately told practice the movements, the motions that you're going to use in that endeavor, as opposed to just abstract weightlifting, lift for the movements you're going to use, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I forgot the term. You probably know it, but there are some unique differences, aren't there, between let's call it a jock and a jock who's going hunting.
Yeah, and I mean, you're just referring to sports-specific training. And yeah, I know you can do all the traditional movements in a gym, but when you get up in the mountains, you're going to, deadfall, stepping up and over deadfall, lateral movement that you don't normally do in a gym. And you do it over and over again, hundreds of times, if not thousands of times a day. And those muscles get taxed and fatigued. And if they're not replenished, certainly, Scott, I mean, people have gotten around the mountains without dedicated supplements forever. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you you can't get around that. But my point is, you can only hunt as hard as you can recover and as fast as you can recover. That's just the way it is. I often say it's not how good you feel on the first day. Talk to me after you crawl out of your sleeping bag on day five.
You know, it's funny you talk about it that way. By the way, that is Mark Paulson with wildernessathlete.com. You're listening to the Upland Nation podcast. I'm Scott Linden, trying to be a better wilderness athlete. I'm a chucker hunter, Mark, and I see this all the time. There are a lot of folks are even a real chucker hunter who they go for a day and they're fine, and they go for 2 days and they're not so fine, and by then they or their dog is starting to break down. So this whole idea of recovering so that we can go for the third day and the fourth day or the third trip and the fifth trip, that really starts to make sense for me. And I'm doing a few things in that area. Number one, of course, and I rail on people about this, especially with your dog, you better start in pretty good shape. Let's presume we are what we are when it comes to our own personal fitness or our dog's fitness for that matter. We can talk about both of them. Then what can we do in the way of fuel for that same kind of exertion?
Well, certainly. I mean, there are strategies that can be employed. And if you've ever read any of my stuff, I really overuse a particular phrase. And that phrase is simply that which you pay attention to improves. And if you don't pay attention to things, if you don't pay attention to your hydration, your foundational health, advanced nutritional needs, and that, you being a dog guy, I mean, you got to give your dog and look at your dog like a highly competitive athlete. When you're asking them to do what they do, and you're not paying attention to what they need, whether it's a high humidity, excessive heat, the sheer amount of time that they're going to be in the field, you got to pay attention to them as well as yourself. So there's a lot of things that go into an enjoyable experience.
But we can also swallow the right stuff, can't we?
Well, we sure can.
And you've made it, I mean, you made a study of this, you've made a business out of it. I'm sure there are certain things, and some of them I see the guys in the gym, they're guzzling this stuff before and after and even during their workouts. What are those things and how would they pay off for me?
Well, in a pre-workout setting, a pre-exercise setting for a human being, one thing I've always tried to instill in my athletes, and then as you get older, certainly things start to wane. So take this with a grain of salt and then implement it based on where you are. But you can only get as fit as the intensity that you bring to the table. So when you incorporate some nutrition that helps stimulate the brain, stimulate your body, get it ready physiologically, you're going to train harder longer. If you train harder longer, you put the body under the necessary stress to maintain muscle tissue. And then when you give it the proper nutrients in a post-workout setting, like right after you're done exercising, there are receptors in the muscles that are ready to receive amino acids, glycogen for replacement. It's really, I would call it like a muscle sponge. It's ready to take the nutrients in. So that's a cornerstone too. And then we obviously have products that you can take before bed when sleeping is the number one recovery modality that there is. So if you don't get good sleep, you're going to suffer over the long haul. So that's just kind of a snapshot, Scott. There's just things that you can implement. And like I said, people can get away with it without doing it. But the question is, how long do you want to enjoy it? And how good do you want to feel in the years that you do it?
Man, you're tripping all my triggers there, Mark. Those are things that are of real concern to me, and especially the sleep one, but we'll talk more about that down the road. They do work, and it is important. But there have got to be ways to do this that are less of a hassle than other ways. Like I said, I see these guys mixing stuff up and carrying these jugs around. And for a normal guy who maybe goes to the gym and works on the stair machine for a half hour every third day or whatever, what can we do at home without too much trouble? And, I'm asking you to plug your stuff, but I want you to tell me what's in it that's going to help me.
Well, you know, you bring up a really good question. See, and I'm just going to be very transparent here. And I mean, in my whole career was spent 32 years training athletes. And I'd like your audience to know that the nutritional world is a very fraudulent world. It just is. Cheap raw materials shipped out of China in containers, fancy marketing designed to get people to buy it, obviously, with pictures of big muscle heads. It just goes on and on. So athletes would always come to me and they'd bring me their product and they'd say, "Coach, can I take this?" And the reality of it is, even if the label looked good, looked clean, I don't know that I can trust the label because it's that kind of an industry. So I just want people to know when we put out a product, it is not only going to be formulated in such a way that it's got the most recent science, that we're going to bring in the highest quality raw materials from around the world to put together a product that's going to do what we say it's going to do. So that's really the long and short of that. So it's we've always been big in my profession, Scott, on everybody that does what I did in the performance arena. We're always big on a foundational, high quality, high absorption multivitamin to lay the foundation for a world that, quite frankly, is becoming devoid of base minerals, and it's causing a lot of problems.
So that's step number one. At the other end of the continuum are the things that I advocate for strongly with my dog in particular, and that is rebuilding muscles. And you mentioned glycogen, among other things, amino acids. That's what a lot of the muscle heads you described use during and after. Beyond a vitamin, though, what are the things that can help us that we can ingest on a regular basis or perhaps pre-hunt? Maybe there's two separate categories there.
Well, from a human standpoint, supplementation is just concentrated nutrition. So I don't want people to overthink it. But I heard this a long time ago, and it's very, very true statement, especially when you look at research from U.S. Department of Agriculture, just the way we practice farming today. And our farmers are asked to feed the world. So this is not, I'm pro-farmer. I grew up farming. But there's no question that the soil content is being depleted, and you have to add a lot of nasty stuff to make things grow. But the phrase that I also heard is, that's very true, is mineral-depleted soils lead to mineral-depleted plants, which lead to mineral-depleted foods, which lead to mineral-depleted people, and leads to mineral-depleted diseases. And most diseases are caused by one particular mineral deficiency, and none of us know what that is because we all have individual physiology that is not, we're all like snowflakes. So to cover your bases, as I mentioned, a good quality multivitamin we have a hydration product that we're known worldwide for. It's because no one's done it. The sports drink world is even bigger fraud than the nutritional world. You put in a bunch of sugar. Well, when you look at the cost of a sports drink, with what they put in, and I'll be honest with you, the raw materials are about two pennies.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I've looked at the ingredients. There can't be too much to it.
No, there's not. The bottle and the label cost more than the product.
Mm-hmm.
So, what we have done is we have turned that industry on its head by incorporating 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C and branched chain amino acids and glutamine and adaptogenic herbs. And we're just providing a high end product for the humans as well as the dogs with our hydrate and recover for dogs. So I just love talking to people about our company and letting them know that, if you're going to invest in your health, which is what it is, let's be honest, it's an investment in long-term health that you can trust what you're getting from our company. And I just love the people that have become our customers.
Well, you mentioned something that's near and dear to my heart, and that is this, the whole idea of hydration. And I use a certain kind of thing when I'm hunting, and it's easy to carry and easy to dispense for me. For my dog, I can do the same thing. There's several other folks out there who have stuff, but I'm really interested in that aspect of it. And we're going to talk, all about dogs in the second half of the Upland Nation podcast. That's Mark Paulson. He's the founder of WildernessAthlete.com. I'm Scott Linden, your host here. But let's stay with the two-legged hunters here for a minute or two more.
Okay.
Let's talk a little bit about this hydration thing and how it might pay off for us. Whether we're hunting pheasants in South Dakota or chuckers in northern Nevada, and I'm not going to be more specific on that location because I don't want anybody else there.
But got it.
What have you got, and how does it work?
Well, the product is called Hydrate and Recover. It's a single serving stick, and we sell tubs as well. But it's just one serving that goes into a 12 to 16 ounce bottle of water. Shake it up and drink it down. Now, what people do not know, guarantee you 99% of your listeners don't know this, that pre-mixed hydration drinks that you get out of a convenience store, anytime you add nutrients to solution, they will begin to degrade. Now, I'd make the case there's no nutrition in them anyway, but you want a powdered product that maintains the vitality of the vitamin C, of the branched chain aminos, of the glute, of all the things that we put in there. You want to maintain the strength of those nutrients so that when you add them to water, shake it up and ingest it, there's going to be a measurable and demonstrable uptick in your sense of well-being. And so that's why we're powdered. Now, certainly there are other powdered companies out there, but they haven't put in what we put in it. So that's really where we start.
But I like the idea of a mental attitude kind of adjustment as well. So, yeah, that's great. Tell me more.
Go ahead.
How does it work?
Well, by incorporating this particular formulation, and I'm the first one to tell you, I'm not a biochemist. I've studied nutrition. I've been around it. But I really was fortunate throughout the course of my career to sit on some boards with the top nutritionists in the athletic world from Russia. From this country, and they just became friends of mine. I'm thankful they took a liking to me and we became friends. But most hydration products are designed to simply do one thing, to get fluids into the body, and that's okay. But that same action of swallowing can do more than just hydrate the body. We help with the cognitive effect, which is what glutamine does, 500 milligrams of glutamine that helps keep you alert, mentally sharp and in the game. We incorporate the branched chain of amino acids for muscular support so that you can go pheasant hunting again the next day. We have a more relevant ratio of sodium and potassium so that you don't have too much salt in your system. And then, of course, the other components that help with heart health, the vitamin C that's for immune support, for collagen support. You know, we use our hands, our feet, all your ligaments and joints. So, I mean, there's a company out there, you know, I forget what it's called, some vitamin C something, I forget the name of it. But they made a living off of one product that has 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. We put that in every serving.
Yeah, I know who you mean. And I used to take it when I was traveling a lot on airplanes.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong. You know, I give credit where credit's due, but we are just a much more comprehensive company to say, listen, take a look at what we're doing. And really what happened, we've really started a new division. If any of the people listening to this are in the industrial world, we are really growing rather quickly in large construction, oil and gas, utility companies, because they use our Hydrate and Recover because their people are out in the elements for hours and hours at a time, sometimes double shifts. And one of our hunters was the head of safety for a utility company in Phoenix. They were suffering averaging six OSHA recordables, heat-related issues, every year, costing them hundreds of thousands of dollars. They flew me in 6 years ago, Scott. I explained, and we love to educate our end user about our product. They started using our product. They haven't had one heat-related issue in 6 years.
You know, nobody's thought about that market. It is, you talk about physical performance, and there you have it. I mean, hunting is hard. Being a lineman in Arizona in the summertime is hard times two. Been there and done it. Hold those thoughts. We're just getting warmed up around here. It's time for you to take a break and rehydrate yourself, Mark Paulson at Wilderness Athlete, while I pay the bills around here.
Will do.
And speaking of paying, if you like paying less for your dog food, then go to drtims.com, drtims.com, performance dog food, and your first order is 30% off. Use the code Upland Nation. Tell Dr. Tim Hunt that I sent you. You know what Coach Paulson is in the human world and now in the dog world, to a great degree, Tim Hunt is as well in the dog world as a veterinarian and a musher, competitive musher, racing all over the place. They both know a little bit about nutrition and how to get dogs performing at their peak. Convenient to order at the website, get regular delivery without supporting those folks at Chewy who support the Humane Society of the United States. No social distancing or masks required at drtims.com. And then, protect your hearing. It's also part of your health care program. Learn more at espamerica.com, electronic shooters protection, pioneers in that world. There's a lot of wannabes. There's a lot of newbies out there. Some are, fly-by-nights. But Jack Home has been around for a long time. First guy to provide me with electronic shooting protection way back in the day. You can get fitted locally. Go to the dealer locator page, type in your address, and Jack will send you to somebody right in town so you don't have to sit there behind the counter in a sportsman show and be the butt of everybody else's jokes. Custom fitted for total wall-to-wall protection. It's all at espamerica.com. From the Cabela's Podcast Studio, I'm Scott Linden, your host here at the Upland Nation Podcast. Time for our Handle It segment, all about the things I learned the hard way, just so you don't have to. By the way, you're welcome. I alluded earlier in the introduction to Manny's backsliding, which probably was included and totally my fault. I won't bore you with all the details, but suffice it to say that I've learned over the years that while a dog may know a skill or a command or can do anything you ask it to do in place number one, unless you've drilled that in six or seven other places over the weeks and months of their training, they haven't mastered it. A good friend of mine has called that place learning for years and years, and I think it sticks. It's very important to me. We were working on steadiness to sight-pointed birds. So he'd come around a corner and he'd see a bird, and the whole idea there is hit the brakes, do not flush that bird. Pretend it's a smelled bird instead. Well, he went off the rails in front of a witness in a training session last week, and I finally put two and two together and realized we'd never trained in that area before. So I put a few more things together, got the check cord out, got the collars in the right places, and we moved gradually out to that place. And if you care at all about that kind of stuff, you know that it's probably going to help. So far, so good. I'll keep you informed. Remember that. trained in a number of places, a number of times, and I'll bet your dog won't do what Flick did. Luckily, we weren't making a TV show at the time. Coach Mark Paulson, wildernessathlete.com. So, Coach, you're back with us. Thank you for putting up with all of that. And hopefully you learned something, too, for your next Labrador. In the meanwhile, though, we've been talking about human performance, athletic and nutritional, if you will, and the fuel that that we need when we're hunting hard, or even easy for that matter. Like I said, level ground in Kansas can be just as trying, especially on a hot day early in the season. But let's switch gears and talk about our four-footed hunting companions. I haven't done near as much research into some aspects of that, but I do know how important, for example, glycogen is for a muscle repair at the end of the day. You've just developed a couple products that are in that general area. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've got there at Wilderness Athlete for our wilderness four-footed athletes?
Well, sure. And if you were to go to our offices, you would laugh because there's just dogs everywhere. And I'm an old school guy, you know, it's age 60 but it's a brave new world, man. Everybody brings their dogs to work and I go in there and it's like a pound. It's amazing, but it's fun. No, all of us are dog owners and we love our dogs and some have, performance dogs in the field. Some have, safety dogs that are for protection, and so we just have always felt very strongly that not unlike the human side, there's just a lot of junk in the dog side. So we came up with two products, and I'm sure there'll be more in the future. They've been very well received, but we have a hydrate and recover, just like I had indicated on the first portion of the podcast for dogs. That is a more relevant formulation to keep them hydrated in the field. And I remember early on understanding that, like, I'd heard, Scott, that in South Dakota, like 70 dogs annually die on the opening day of pheasant season. That just floored me.
Yes.
Because they don't pay attention to their dogs. They don't give them the right recovery nutrients. And everybody loves their dogs, and nobody wants that. So we came up with a real high quality hydration that dogs just love. And then the second is a product called New Dog that incorporates a bunch of nutrients that help a dog recover, help with joint health, antioxidant protection, heart health. It's really a one-stop shop. It's a top feed and it's just a wonderful product. And I love getting all the reviews and the people that call in to say, you know, my dog was, 9, 10, 11 years old and really slowing down. And man, we gave him some of that New Dog. And it's just fun to see them bounce back. So yeah, it's just two really high quality products that can really make a distinct advantage for your dog.
Well, let's break them down. And I mean, literally, let's talk about hydration because I've experimented with a lot of the stuff that's already out there. I don't quite understand the chemistry, let alone the physiology of how that stuff works. Drinking water, simple. Even I can do that without spilling most of the time. And my dog, he doesn't care whether he spills or not. Just look at my boots at the end of the drink that he takes. But what happens at the cellular level and what makes it happen better in something like yours?
Yeah, well, see, dogs are not unlike humans in that they're monogastric. So the reason sports drinks came into the scene at all, onto the scene back in 1965, was that some research came around, it became known, that by adding about 6 to 7% concentration of nutrients to fluid, it actually increased and optimized the body's ability to absorb fluids faster. So as soon as it leaves the stomach into the small intestine, it will be sucked up faster, allowing for much faster hydration into the cell. So understanding that, what sports drinks didn't realize is that they used that 6%, they used just salt and sugar and a little potassium. Well, nothing says that that 6 to 7% can't be high quality nutrients in conjunction with sodium and potassium. So we really have taken, all we really did, Scott, is we just raised the bar in terms of responsibility and taking the science that they knew about and really not taking advantage of people's ignorance, but giving them a high quality product. So it kind of gets stuck in my craw that for 50 years, nobody challenged this garbage, but here we are, and that's water under the bridge. So
pardon the pun.
Yeah, pardon the pun. So we now are providing nutritional products in the hydration rather than just artificial colors, sugar, and salt with a little potassium. So like for our Hydrate and Recover, we incorporate a more relevant solution of sodium and potassium, as I mentioned. We also put the glutamine in there. Most muscle tissue is comprised of glutamine. Leucine is the number one amino acid in the human body for recovery. And glutathione is an amino acid that helps mop up lactic acid and get it out of your system as quickly as it can. So it's just a really neat product to benefit the dog, not only to absorb it faster, but to remove some of the waste byproducts.
Okay, I've got my German wire-haired pointer behind me now, and he's tugging on my coat, and he's asking one important question. What does it taste like?
Yeah, well, you know, we've tried to make it as flavorful as possible. Dogs tend to love liver flavor. So it's got some elements, obviously, of natural flavor. So we don't use any artificial unnatural for in our human or our dog products. So it's a natural liver flavor that the dogs like, and they certainly seem to gobble it up.
I'm already thinking I probably ought to get on your website right about now. By the way, that is Mark Paulson, wildernessathlete.com. You can learn more. Lots of great information there, in addition to the products themselves. So take a look at all of that. And the newest products are both for dogs. Let's talk about the other one. It sounds more like a recovery product than a during the hunt product. Am I following you on that?
Yeah, it is more of that. Just like you said, you know, the dogs are in good shape. You know, they wake up in the morning, you throw them in their kennel and they're birdie and they're ready to rock and roll. And just like a human being, those muscles get taxed and there are receptors that are ready to be fed. So at the end of it, and it can be used at any time, but it's the uptake into the dog's body will be more substantial when they're done training. So it's if you look at it on our website, just to make sure everyone knows, there's a tab that just says Canine Athlete, and that's obviously where those are located. But we use high quality vitamins. You know, there are multiple grades of vitamins too. You can use a very low grade vitamin and no one's going to know the difference except you or the dog.
And then it's too late.
but you'll say, well, I didn't feel anything. And but if you were to click on the supplement facts, I'm not going to bore your audience, but you will see a pretty comprehensive list of what we put in every serving of new dog that goes from magnesium and copper and iron and all the trace minerals. And unless you know this stuff, things like taurine, folic acid, beta carotene, vitamin C, a complete ultra joint, which includes glucosamine and MSM, which is very popular in the athletic world for athletes. So it's, without boring you to death, I don't mean to do that. I apologize. It's just, I the heroes in my world, Scott, are formulators, because I know that, you know, these are people that their formulations are their, it's their babies.
Yeah. Yeah.
They will not put out stuff that they can't, if someone put them on a stage and said, defend yourself, They want to be able to defend themselves, and they will tell you exactly why everything is in this.
Now, the difference between, I mean, somebody out there, probably me, is wondering why you need to formulate a different one for dogs than humans. And I don't mean that as a disingenuous question. I know the answer is there are reasons that the dog version is different than the human version. What are those reasons?
Well, different demands. I mean, dogs, you know, gosh, look at what they go through when they're out there. You know, human beings have a natural tendency to throttle down, and we push ourselves, but then we throttle back. Doggone dogs, if you don't shut them down sometimes, they'll go till they literally die. So you just got to be aware of that and provide the right things. And then, as I mentioned, the owner certainly has a role to play too, and that paying attention and providing adequate recovery and shade and at appropriate times. But yeah, just different needs. And I'm sure our formulator, when he went through all this, he's done some work with dog companies before, but he's the kind of guy that's going to research exactly what the maladies are and then provide the proper nutrients to satisfy the challenges that a dog has that a human doesn't have, and vice versa. A lot of it has to do with kidney function. Most problems that happen with human beings in high stress environments, which are going to ultimately come down to a condition called rhabdomyolysis, you know, which is a problem with your kidneys. Well, dogs have the same issues. When they break down too much muscle tissue, their kidneys can't funnel all that stuff through there, and that's when you lose a dog. And you're talking to a guy who I can tell you I'm not happy to report. I had an athlete die on me 25 years ago before they even knew what rhabdomyolysis was.
Yeah, and even I know what the symptoms are now. We don't need to go into any of that, but we both know that it is more critical than we ever thought, and more dogs probably have a problem with that than we would ever guess, too. How about muscle recovery? I mean, actual muscle cell wall rebuilding. What are you doing in that?
Well, you know, we provide some things to really help the dog recover initially. And I know everybody on this call with your kind of people, they prize their animals. They love their dogs. So that recovery phase also is going to be, it's incumbent on getting them the right proteins in a post-recovery phase. We can only provide so much in this. I mean, if we were to come out with, for example, our next product, a dog food line, that would address that, but we don't. So I will tell your, and I don't have to remind your folks again, I'm talking to an educated audience. They're going to get high quality dog food, not the cheapest stuff you can get at Walmart, because your dogs are going to need higher quality. For example, on the human side, Scott, you know, people, elderly, they get these little shaker things at Walmart because it's got 20 grams of protein. What no one tells them is those proteins are so low quality, and they're in pre-mixed solution again, so that they're degraded to a point of very little usage. But they don't know that, so people get taken advantage of. And so that's my concern, is that people just invest in stuff. If you want the human body to invest or to operate at a high level, you have to treat your dog just like that and give him nutrients that are also manufactured and formulated at a high level.
Okay, so let's get practical here, strength and conditioning coach Mark Paulson. I come off of a hunt. I take everything I need to take, but you know, that night and the next morning, I'm going to put real food, if you will. I shouldn't have said it that way. I'm going to put food in my mouth as well. At the end of the hunting day, what kind of food would be a good food for me?
Well, I would tell you, I hesitate to use the word balanced, but in that case, you're going to want to have a fairly balanced plate with protein, carbohydrate, and some healthy fats. You know, fats were poo-pooed forever, and now we realize that healthy fats, avocado, coconut oils, you know, some of the healthier oils that are out there now, and there's a lot of them, avocado oil. Those things should also comprise a portion of your plate or on your salads. So, you
Sure.
know, we don't eat, I don't encourage a lot of carbohydrate during the day, but when you're working out hard, if you don't give it a balanced complex carbohydrate in the form of sweet potatoes, good salads, I even potatoes can be just fine. Brown rice, wild rice, those kinds of things, complex carbohydrates that have some nutritional value, because a lot of carbohydrates are basically
Sugar.
all the nutrients have been gleaned
Yeah.
from them.
Yeah.
So you don't want, anytime they tell you that they have to put something back into it, that's not a good sign.
That's a good way to look at it. Look at the label and see how much other stuff they have to pile on. You know, back in the day when I was at the University of Oregon working with the athletic department, carbo loading was all the rage. And you know, it was from Prefontaine to the football players, everybody was doing that. You're describing a little bit of that there, but you know, back in the day it was bread and potatoes and pizza, spaghetti. You're saying complex carbohydrates are a better loading type of
Well,
car.
absolutely.
Yeah.
And let me give you a stat that 20, 25 years ago, the average American diet was approximately 2,500 calories. Today, Scott, is 3,500 calories, and most of that comes in the form of sugars.
That
You,
explains a lot about me.
well, it's a snapshot of America, so don't beat yourself up. I've also read studies on the top seven octogenarian cultures in the world. And the average and the and their diets varied, incredibly varied diets, from almost 100% fat to almost 100% soy, and yet they all lived a long time. What was the determinant? The average caloric consumption was 1,700 calories, and they were very active. So the lighter you are, the more active you'll be. But when you start consuming 3,500 calories a day in a sedentary world, that spells disaster, and that's what's happening in our country.
I believe it. I mean it. I'm living proof of that in both directions. But someday we'll do a podcast about my fitness journey, and maybe you'll be part of it. Sounds like you've got some great ideas there. We're about ready to wind things up here. But there's a couple things that you are uniquely qualified to help us with here at the Upland Nation podcast. So, Coach Mark Paulson, if you were to describe one or two exercises that we should do if we climb the hills a lot or we're walking the vast prairies of South Dakota for sharp-tailed grouse, what are the one or two things that you would do personally and you think we should do that would make us a little bit better at getting around?
Well, I would do one of two things. I would do step ups. You know, step ups are done every day in every weight room in the country. And you find a box that's depending on your height. If your foot is on that box, your thigh to shin should be at about a right angle.
Okay.
And maybe a little bit lower, depending on your age and your ability
And
to step up.
your the health of your ACL.
Absolutely. And you can always start lower and work your way up. So by alternating steps and starting with, 20 and working yourself up and then adding weight on your back or whatever. But step-ups do a lot to strengthen your legs. And of course, you can imagine being a chucker hunter, how much vertical you go through when you hunt chuckers. And when I'm out there hunting elk or mule deer or whatever I'm doing. But they work on what's called your posterior chain, which is the single most critical aspect of any athletic movement, which is your low back, your butt muscles, your glutes, and your hamstring. That is the chain that will determine your long-term health.
How about our dogs? Any advice in conditioning for dogs for the long run? Pardon the pun.
Well, you know, you guys would actually know more about that. I haven't been in my lab club now for a while, and I don't know the latest, so I'm not going to pretend to be an expert. But like anything else, it's the biggest challenge we see in the industrial world with people that work long hours is acclimatization, acclimating to the climate. So in a dog world, it's starting slow and building up. You just don't say, boy, it's a beautiful day. It's been a long winter. Let's get after it. That's a recipe for disaster for dogs. Just start slow and get them going. And as far as your second movement, I would give a human to do. It would be what we call goblet squats. It's, you know, your legs are the really the bigger part of your health. And once your legs start to fall apart, there's a domino, a cascading effect, if you will, where things just start to capitulate and move downhill. So by just, you know what a goblet is, or holding a weight right in front of your chest, and you can do it with a kettlebell, you can do it with a 10-pound weight, you can do it with a 45-pound plate, but simply holding it and putting yourself in a squat position as far down as you can go, and really trying to force your leg muscles and not bending at the waist. You can go on YouTube and look at the goblet squat all day long and get good advice on how to do it. But between step-ups and goblet squats, those would be the two that I would recommend for all of your listeners.
Let the goblet squat be your best friend. And yeah, you can do it anywhere, like you said. You could even do it with something else besides real weights, for that matter. Absolutely. And boy, I'm living proof of the effectiveness of that stuff. So good on you. I'm glad to hear that. This has been incredibly enjoyable for somebody who worries about performance a little bit more than most. And they don't have a 12-step program for that yet, so I apologize for the rest of you. But Mark Paulson, if they want to learn more about what you're doing and why you're doing it and how you're doing it, for that matter, wildernessathlete.com is a place to go. Am I right on that?
You are right. And we got a great group of customer service people at 1-800-300-1215 that would answer any question you have.
There you have it. Mark Paulson, always a pleasure. We'll do it again. Thanks for being a part of the Upland Nation podcast.
Thanks for having me on, Scott.
And the rest of you, don't go nowhere, because we got lots more, including some chucker hunting hot spots that I'm going to clue you into. But if I see you there, you're buying the beer. First off, go to Gunner Kennels. Gunner.com is the address for those guys. Man's best kennel. 1,200 five-star reviews. Now, the other thing I like about my Gunner Kennel, and Flick does too, it's double wall. None of this roto-molded single wall stuff. If you want to know why that's important, just watch some of those videos. It's kind of scary, but it's absolutely critical. Take the Fit Finder quiz. Try the augmented reality app. They're fun to play with, and they will also inform you of all the choices at gunner.com. Free shipping. Can't forget that either. And speaking of free shipping, also at dogtra.com for any purchase over $200, including my favorite, the TNB Dual Collar System. You get a 10% discount on that as well, or anything else over $200. Just use the code SLUN10 at dogtra.com. I know sometimes it's not polite to spill when you're talking about hard-to-find hunting spots. And I'm not going to tell you the latitude and the longitude, but, you know, a lot of folks would love to try chucker hunting, and there's a lot of places you can go to do that. So if you start with the top end of the funnel, California, east and northeast, Oregon, east and southeast, Utah, kind of sort of to the west, Nevada, the northwest to the northeast, eastern Washington, some bits of Wyoming, a lot of western Idaho, even British Columbia and Hawaii, which I would love to try someday. Aloha. If you're looking for narrowing it down just a little bit more, northwest Nevada, southeast Oregon, and the Snake River region are great places to narrow your search. Take out your big map, hopefully one that is published by the Bureau of Land Management. They're gigantic. You can use them as a blanket in a, you know, in an emergency situation. But the good news is they're pretty proud of their holdings out there in Chukar Country, and they will probably show you those literally. All the yellow spots on those BLM maps are not only owned by you and me, they're also accessible to you. So pull out a map, find the yellow spots near Lewiston, Idaho, Yakima, Washington, Burns, Oregon, some of the country, Winnemucca and Elko, Nevada. Then lace up your boots, and I'll see you in the field. And This Land Is Your Land is brought to you by findbirdhuntingspots.com, where you can get all sorts of helpful information along those lines, and maybe a little bit more specific as well. And by my friends at hunthuronsd.com, where the pheasants outnumber the people, Huron, South Dakota. One quick reminder, espamerica.com will ensure that you can hear the next quick reminder, if there ever is one. Visit espamerica.com and learn all about protecting your hearing. Well, I hope you learned as much as I did from Coach Paulson at wildernessathlete.com. Thank you for your kind attention, and thank you, Coach Paulson, for being a part of the Upland Nation. Looking forward to learning more and trying some of your stuff, and so is Flick. He's already got me on the website. Luckily, he doesn't have opposable thumbs, so he can't be ordering yet. But you might, and I might too, for that matter. If you want to talk about that or anything else when it comes to birds, bird hunting, and bird dogs, you know where to go. Facebook.com/wingshootingusa or the Upland Nation Facebook page. We're getting closer and closer to fall. I'm writing an essay right now about just that subject. Watch for it. I hope you'll enjoy it. In the meanwhile, train hard, hunt easy, give your wife or your husband, your kids, and your dog a hug. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Scott Linden. Talk to you soon.